Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, welcome to hour number two of the show. And coming up in this hour, Don Bailey Jr. with us, Scott Howard, former University of Miami assistant basketball coach, now a national champion, a world champion scout for the Denver Nuggets. Also in this hour, Coach Kolop will join us, signed five new players to her recruiting class today. Coach L signed two players to his recruiting class. Canes basketball plays on Sunday against Coppin State. We'll have that game for you on our sister station on Waxy. Women won last night against Jacksonville in a nail biter. Okay, DBJ, you're with us, right? Oh, no. We've got to call him back. What happened? All right. Scott Howard should be with us. Scott, you with us?
I'm with you, Joe. How you doing?
All righty. All right. Well, now Don hung up on us, so we got to get him back on the line. That'd be typical.
I just hope he didn't hang up on me.
Yeah, see that? And we talk about being patient on offense. He hung up on us. So we'll get to Don here momentarily. And we're going to have a little discussion about where we are in college athletics and talk about the NIL, what that's going to look like, how it's impacted coaching. So DBJ is with us, right? Okay. Don, you're back with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
All right, there we go. We got Scott Howard, Don Bailey Jr. Got a little round table here. All right, let me toss this out to you. Both of you can pick up on this. College players are getting paid. What do you think the impact has been so far? Positive, negative? What do you see? Scott?
Well, I don't know. I think it's too early to judge what we see. What my fear is here is you got a trifecta in this way in college athletics all at the same time. You had a cascade of lawsuits against the NCAA, which is going to result in a house settlement. So not only are players able to make money through NIL, but they're going to get paid. They're going to get essentially a salary. There's going to be revenue sharing in another year. So you have that plus NIL plus the transfer portal all at the same time. It wasn't like you had one and then the other 10 years later and then the other one 10 years after that. And there was an ability to adapt slowly. It's like all of it at once. And so Don knows football better than I do. I think, Joe, you know better basketball better than I do. But I would say this. I don't know for sure that we can comment on it until we have another two or three years to see it. But my early indications are it's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. Because I think I think what it's done is it's caused players to give up too early, to move on too early. If you looked at the greatest players in University of Miami history, especially in football, but even in basketball, the players that I was fortunate enough to coach, the John Salmons and the James Jones and the Tim James and the guys that were in that era when I was with Leonard at UM, those guys earned their way. They none of them played a lot when they were freshmen. They all earned their way, and they didn't become great until they were juniors and seniors. Those kids would have all transferred. They would have all left because we didn't have any money at that time. They wouldn't have learned to stick it out. They wouldn't have learned the bond of being a loyal Cane. I don't know. How does a guy make it to a Hall of Fame if he's at four different schools in four different years? I think it's an interesting time. I don't know that we know, but I think the just the transformation of college athletics probably is not in a good spot right now.
Joe, you know, as far as I want to hit the transfer rule separately, because I think that, to me, I have a real problem with that one. That one bothers me the most. The NIL situation, to me, it's almost a law that they just put on the books. You know, you really don't have much of a choice about it. Hopefully it'll get amended and changed and be more helpful than hurtful. But it's here right now. And the only bright side that I've seen out of it is that, for the most part, I'm going to give you the majority. When I'm around the student athlete and when I'm around that football team, aside from driving better cars and being dressed a little bit better, the kids are still the kids. You know, I mean, the 18-year-old is still the 18-year-old, and the 19-year-old is still 19, and the 20 is still 20. They certainly, most of the players have an opportunity to eat at better places and travel and do things, of course, that people were not able to do in college 4 or 5 years ago, back through the histories. But the personalities are there. And again, you know, to me, am I in agreement with it? I'm really not. But I also realize that it's the law of today, and we got to live with it. But the transfer rule, having a player in any sport be able to transfer and just go immediately and pick up at another school and do it again and do it again. And it just, to me, is it a nice way of just quitting? I mean, is it just taking the word out of it and let transfer at will replace quitting? And I don't mind the transfer rule, but I think there has to be some I would like to see some better guidelines with it. You could always transfer, but you always had to sit out a year. Well, you know, maybe you look at that again, or you just look at it a different way. But as of now, we are living in a world of both. The transfer world and the NIL.
You know, I might add, Don,
in the coming year, revenue sharing on top of that, which will not stop NIL. NIL is going to be, you know, on top of revenue share if the model stays the way it is currently structured, from what I understand. And I think they're all interlooped, right? Because a lot of times sometimes the guys transfer because they're not playing, or they're not happy, or they don't care for their coach, or whatever, the way that guys transferred years ago. But oftentimes now guys are transferring because they're going to get paid more somewhere else in an NIL deal at some other school. And you know, somebody else has a bigger bank. And what it's really caused, the NIL, and it's really prevented a lot of the smaller schools, you know, the development players that would come in from smaller schools into the NFL. I'm originally from Iowa, and University of Northern Iowa used to put a guy in the NFL every year. They took one-star athletes, and the coach developed them, and they stayed for 4 years, and the guy became an All-American tight end at a school like that. Those guys don't exist anymore because they all transfer up. Right. So, and because they can get NIL money somewhere else.
Scott, let me ask you, as far as, since you did it and you did it very, very well at the collegiate level, how do you think this has affected recruiting? I mean, what is the conversations now, you know, when it comes to recruiting a player to a university compared to what it used to be?
Well, that's a great question, because I don't do it anymore, but because of me being in the NBA and being on college campuses virtually every day of the week during the basketball season, I have a pretty good pulse on it. From what I understand, it's another downfall to the state of college athletics. When I was recruiting at the University of Miami, I think when Coach Larrañaga first came here, one of the joys of going into a kid's home was telling them how great of a University of Miami was, and what a degree meant at this really prestigious private school in Coral Gables. It was going to be an honor for somebody to get a degree.
And that that was one of our primary selling points. And now, from what I understand, the first question asked is, how much are you paying me? Mm-hmm. The quality of the education, the value of the education, the education that's worth more than $250,000 today at the University of Miami, that's secondary to how much can I earn. And I think that's lost in this whole thing. Is does anybody value education any longer in this deal? And so I think that that's one of the things, Don, that is a big change. Is it's not the education. It's not how. It's not, hey, if you come here, you're not going to play much when you're a freshman. By a sophomore, you're going to play. You'll probably be on special teams, and then by the time you're a junior, a third year player, you're going to be ready to go. It's not that way any longer. It's how much can you pay me and how quick can you get me to the league?
I think it's going to be hard to create. You know, the term everybody uses right now is culture. I think it's going to be very hard to create a great culture when guys are coming and going. How do you create a culture when the number one thing is, what are you paying me?
No question. And Don, you lived it. How much did you play your freshman and sophomore year?
Well, early on, my freshman year, I was fortunate because somebody got hurt and an opportunity presented itself, but I was able to start the last four or five games that year and then split time my sophomore year and then was, on schedule to be a starter my junior and senior year. It makes a difference when you have the time to develop, and it makes a difference when you have time if it presents itself to be redshirted. And I think, guys, Joe and I have talked about it forever, Scott, and when I'm with you, we talk about it, about how fortunate it is for a player to stay in college football for 4 or 5 years. And I think the best example right now of a five-year player are 2 5-year players. One of them has been at the University of Miami his whole career, in Xavier Restrepo. I mean, he's leaving with every record in the book. And then, Cam Ward is a guy that is in his fifth year. And it took him all of his 5 years to develop his skill to the maximum. So the hurry to get out of the sport is always something that has baffled me as well.
Yeah, I know, in, like I say, in my experiences, working in the NBA, this has a trickle down to pro sports. We're trying to figure it out now. We're trying to figure out, okay, because years ago we used to, I don't want to say we penalize guys for transferring, but it was somewhat of a touchy point with us. Like, why did that guy transfer? Did he give up somewhere? Did he not want to stick it through because he's not going to play when he's a rookie? So is he just going to quit and want to move somewhere else and not stick it through and realize that this is a 2 or 3 year deal before he earns playing time in our league? And so now you have all these guys that have transferred once, sometimes twice, sometimes three times, and it's like, okay, we get it a little bit because some of them had a chance to go make more money at, if they transferred up to another school. But this whole thing trickles down to us as us trying to figure this out, because we need guys that will stick it out, that don't want to give in and just automatically look for their next opportunity.
Okay, we're going to continue on this topic when we come back. Scott Howard, Don Bailey Jr. with us. Also, I want to get Scott's thoughts on, I think you pretty much told some of the University of Miami players what is important to the NBA, and we'll talk about that when we come back. But first, let me say this. There is no transfer portal at Williamson Cadillac, because at Williamson Cadillac, once you are in their family, you're always in their family. And the reason why is because they treat you so well. They treat you with great customer service. So when you enter Williamson Cadillac and you buy a Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac or lease one from Williamson Cadillac. You'll never transfer away from Williamson because their customer service is world-class. When you purchase a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac, and new vehicles are arriving every single day, like the CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, the new all-electric Lyriq. I'm driving the XT4. It's a beautiful drive. XT4, it's a driver pleaser. It's always ready to tackle any task, whether you're going grocery shopping or daily commuting or getting ready to tailgate in the parking lot after a game. The XT4 is always going to meet a wide array of needs and desires. Williamson Cadillac, if you want the best in customer service, go to Williamson Cadillac. Ed Williamson, his lovely wife, Carol. Jermaine Chambers, former University of Miami wide receiver. He'll get you set up. Jeff Rogers, the general manager. You cannot go wrong with his leadership. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Don Bailey Jr. with us. Scott Howard, former Hurricanes assistant basketball coach, now scout extraordinaire with the Denver Nuggets. You're going to scout all the University of Miami basketball players this year. And we'll see if we have any future Nuggets. Talking about where we are in college athletics, I did want to ask you, Scott, I did want to kind of throw this in there. I think Coach L, he had you talk to the team a little bit, right?
He sure did.
So,
By the way, how fortunate at this time is University of Miami to have some of the leadership and coaches they have? I mean, Coach Larrañaga is he's a legend in college basketball. He's going to end up being in the Hall of Fame, and the football program's in good shape. So they're really lucky. It took me back. I know when you asked me to do this show yesterday or a couple of days ago, I got thinking about coming here 35 years ago, and them having the leadership. The legendary Sam Jankovic was our leader, and Dennis Erickson was our coach, and Leonard Hamilton, and kind of had a really good run there in football and basketball, and then things went a little bit quiet in both sports, and now both of them got it going again. So it's kind of cool to see, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, we're 2 years ago, we go to the Final Four. We were in the center of the college basketball universe, and now very much the same in football here in mid-November. So maybe you don't want to reveal what you said, but
No, I did.
He gave a pretty good message to the team. I know that. He was very happy with it.
No, I sidetracked, but I just wanted to compliment Jim because I really have a lot of respect for him. He asked me to come in and talk to his team, and I think the message was, guys, you got to go win. Doing what people that do what I do, that evaluate players who are going to come in the NBA. The thing that we need is we need to win at our level, or guys that do what I do are going to be out of a job. So we need people that can impact winning at our level. And if they can't impact winning at University of Miami, how do they do it in the NBA or the NFL? And, there's countless examples of guys. You got to put your personal agenda at the door, help your team win. And then the NFL or the NBA will figure out how you can get on the floor. But how many points you score or how many times they hand you the ball or whatever doesn't matter to us. What matters is if you can impact winning. And that was my message to them, and hopefully it'll help them a little bit.
Well, I think, Don would agree with me on this one. Guys get confused and they think it's the stats, it's the numbers. And I think guys in your business, Scott, it's can you play for me? How many games are you going to give me? And can you win? And it's easy for the evaluators to go to the schools where they won. Didn't George Young once say, Don, or Howard Schnellenberg say, it's easy to draft. I pick the Street and Smith guys. I go to the places that won.
go to the places that have won and had the most success for the longest period of time, and you usually are going to find winning players and winning programs.
But those winning programs, they structure their program the same way. Is look, you help us win, you'll get there, right? But that message gets missed once in a while. I get it. There's a lot of people in these kids here, and there's a lot of money at the end of the rainbow for somebody. And so, they think a lot of the advice these kids get is in basketball, go take the most shots. In football, yeah. go demand that they hand you. How many times are you going to let me run the ball? And it's like, hey, but guess what? They pay backs at block too. You know, they pay tackles that don't ever touch the ball a lot of money if they help their team win.
Hey Scott, how do you evaluate the difference between let's say Duke's got a 17-year-old Cooper Flagg who might be a one and done, and versus a 5-year guy that's returning and made the commitment to come back, but may be equally successful? How do you evaluate them, and how do they fit into the NBA?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it's, guys that do what I do, I think it's no different than when I was coaching. Is we're trying to project. We're trying to project, like, where does he fit in our plan? And one of the things, Don, is like a successful football program, successful basketball program, or an NFL franchise, NBA franchise, the best franchises have a plan, and they're projecting their guys. How do they fit in with our stars? And then where are our stars lined up in their contracts so that, like we have what I think is the best player in the world on our team, Nikola Jokic. And so how are we going to draft players that fit him and the way he plays and in his timeline? And so sometimes you can look at that fifth year guy who we may say, he may not end up being, he may not quite end up being the player that one and done guy is, but he fits our roster at this current time because of where Jokic is, or because of where Jimmy Butler is, or because of where Tua is here locally, whatever. So there becomes a kind of a balance of figuring out your current roster and where your plan is. But the projection part is really the key is, hey, that fifth year guy can turn around and be just as valuable, even though he may not be as big of a star.
Yeah, Cooper Flagg's a pretty good player, Scott, but he fumbled the ball twice last night down the stretch. He over-dribbled,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't comment on that because he's an underclassman. But
well, that's right.
I will say this: that kid's good.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, there's a news bulletin. The NBA and the NFL can only be as good as what the colleges are giving them. Maybe the NBA, that's not quite true, because the NBA can get guys from Europe. But nonetheless, you rely on a feeder system. But as these kids are playing, and Don can contribute to this because he went into the NFL, I wonder, what is the influence from NBA players or professional players, whether it's the NFL or NBA, on the kids today? Because they're looking at them. I think they're kind of acting like them. That's who they want to be. Is there a pressure for these college kids to, they're looking at the NBA guys. They want to be like them. Are we in a good spot there?
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not. Because here's what I think. I think so much of this has been driven by money.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of money. It's not. So one of the best. We're talking local legends here, but one of the greatest books I've ever read or the greatest authors I've ever read is Pat Riley. He had one book, The Winner Within, still may be the best book I've ever read, but he had a book, Showtime, back in the 80s, and it talked about, he had this a chapter called To Be, Not to Have, and a player should be motivated to be the best, not to have, and not to be motivated by the money. If you're motivated to be the best, the haves will come along with it. If you're the best player in the league, they'll still pay you the most money. But don't get motivated by to have, because once you get that amount, you're going to quit. You're going to stop. You're not going to be driven. And I think that message is missed here with some of this is like, you know, with even in the NIL era and give me era, is you still have to put in the work to be great. And if you don't, you're gonna get beat somewhere along the line, because somebody's gonna work harder than you.
Yeah.
And I think that message has gotten missed.
Scotty, a little bit of an ACC picture. What your thoughts of Cal and SMU and Stanford joining the conference, and what does it do to the conference, and how does it affect having an East Coast, West Coast presence, I should say, the West Coast presence now that Cal and Stanford are in?
Well, these players all want to get paid, and so if they want to get paid like pros, they got to get treated by pros, so they're going to have to take those long flights and not complain about it. That's the downside.
Can the broadcasters complain about it?
Well, you're getting paid very much, so you can complain. That's okay.
He went out early to California. Right, Don, he went out early, Scott.
Yeah, it cost me, Scotty.
He turned into a vacation.
Hey, as an aside, Joe, have you been lucky enough to go with the mayor? And that's what I refer to Don Bailey as, because he is the mayor of the city. Have you been lucky enough to go with him to Joe Stone Crab and see that he runs that place?
Yes, yes.
You're talking about the most legendary right. restaurant in the city that nobody can get into, and you go in there and you think it's the Pope. My wife and I were fortunate enough to go with him and Priscilla to dinner, and I felt like I was an inch tall because I was with this giant that walked into that place.
Really, it should be that experience should be at one of those auctions. You know, where
it really should.
Silent auction. It should be like a silent auction item. Dinner with Don Bailey at Joe's, and then you just get the experience of being with him.
It should be an auction item for the University of Miami Sports Hall of Fame.
That's right.
And we can get John Ruth on that. The problem is, who picks up the tab for that one? Because John's not going to himself. So we got. You know what? I'll sponsor that dinner if we'll put that one on the silent auction item and at Joe Stone Crab at dinner with Don Bailey, dinner with a Hall of Famer at Joe Stone Crab. How about that? That's a good.
Yeah,
but Scotty, you got to make sure you guys are involved in this, and don't act, guys, like it can be just us three. You know, there's Cat's got to go.
I'd like to just watch from another table.
And don't forget that the real person that got us in the door is Mr. Hudak. So let's remember that too. Now he's always got a little bit to do with that.
Yeah, Ed Hudak. Oh boy, let's move on to the next subject, because I don't want to go there.
All right, we got about 2 minutes left, so let me just ask you this: we'll just bring it back to right to your wheelhouse. We basketball season's underway. Your overview of the University of Miami this year, Coach L, is a new team put together. I know you can't talk about certain players, but maybe kind of an overview of as they get ready to go into the ACC here.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a nice team, Joe. Yeah. I really do. I was impressed. I went to see them a year ago and early in the season, and I got struck. I was just like, wait a minute, this team is bouncing back off of the Final Four. Most of the same guys back, and they didn't have that. Like, I thought that all of a sudden the NIL thing, that it's all about me, it's not about us. I thought that went out the window in some way, and that's not characteristic of a Coach L team. It's like that's not it. And I went to see them practice, early this fall, and I was like, okay, they've got this team deal back together here. So I like what I see out of this team, that league's going to be good. I mean, Duke. I saw Duke last night. I was the Champions Classic. That team is good. That's a Final Four caliber team. I think in the ACC it's going to be interesting to watch is Wake. I think Wake's got a chance to be really good. I think that the sleeper team in the ACC could be Georgia Tech. But it's going to be a good year for the Canes, I think.
Steve Forbes is the king of the transfer portal, and I do agree with you. The NIL, I think, in reality, Miami could be in the third year of that Final Four team, right? Because a lot of those guys could have come back this year, but they all opted not to. But it could have been. They could have been together without Wong, without Jordan Miller. But a good core of that could have been together for 3 years. But to your point, I think other things got involved. At any rate, this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you taking the time, Scott. I'll see you at one of our games. And Don, enjoy your bye weekend.
I'll do it. And Scotty, always enjoy chit-chatting with you. And thank you, Joe. Have a great evening.
And Scott, we're definitely going to do the Joe Stonecraft thing. You and I will just watch.
I'll sponsor. I'll pick up the tab for the dinner as a donation to the Hall of Fame. But I think a viewer's table, like a skybox table, to watch the interaction and see the people in awe of Don Bailey.
Right.
Oh, God. I think that table might be more valuable.
There you go.
Too much.
Thank you.
All right, see you guys. All right. Don Bailey Jr., Scott Howard, Tricia Cullop joins us next here on the show.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, joining us now, University of Miami women's coach Tricia Cullop is with us. Coming off a nice win last night. A little bit of a nail-biter against Jacksonville. Coach, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. So many different things to talk to you about. Where shall we start? How about this? Big signing day for you. Signed five players, and that's always a great start when you're able to replenish your roster.
No, I totally agree. Our staff's worked really hard since the day I took the job to try to make sure that not only could we get this roster of our current team ready to go, but also to really start working on the future. And, it's exciting to see all of our hard work paying off because, the class we signed, there was one poll out last week that ranked it preseason fifth in the country. Right. And, we're not done yet. We're still trying to sign one or two more. And if we don't get them in this part of the season, we'll look in the portal. But I'm really thrilled with the class we've signed so far.
What were you looking for in the players that you signed?
Well, skill, competitiveness. We'd like to get a little bit bigger. And I think we were able to sign some players that, we're going to graduate several players. We took some one-year players when I first took the job. Obviously, the Cavenders are two guards that handle the ball really well and make good decisions. So we thought that with the Williams kid and also with the Tipner kid out of Indiana that we were able to sign two kids that are very heady, very smart, handling the ball, will take good care of it, can score at all three levels. And then, Danny Osho, who is out of the Atlanta area, is a big guard who can play the two through the four, who can really shoot it. She's strong. She can rebound. Soma Okolo, who is from Texas, is just an amazing athlete. She's a kid who can already dunk the basketball. I could see her playing the three through the five in her career. And then Natalie Wetzel out of the Pennsylvania area is a stretch five that can really shoot the ball. She could play the four or the five for us, but someone that when she's on the floor, the floor is going, the spacing is going to be incredible because she has a quick release and a very pretty shot.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at all the bios of your players. How about this being really your first recruiting class of high school players for Miami? The response that you were able to get from around the country, because these are players from around the country, the excitement mm-hmm. that they have coming to the University of Miami.
Well, and I think it speaks to how easy it is to sell Miami. You know, what a great, you know, world-class education. You're in the ACC. You know, Kate did an amazing job, so we have a tradition, winning tradition to sell that we want to continue. And then, you know, we're also in one of the best locations in the league.
Yeah, no question about that. Were you keeping one eye on your former team tonight?
You know, I am. I knew that this would be a difficult matchup for them. You know, it's tough. We graduated last year two of the MAC players of the year the last 2 years, and so you're putting the ball in some young players' hands to take care of it, and that's always difficult. But I know that they'll do a great job of building for the future.
Yeah. So Toledo, for our audience, they're playing Iowa tonight. So here's my bonus question for you. They always say it's hard to replace a legend. So at Iowa, is it harder to replace the head coach or for one of those players to step in for Caitlin Clark?
You know, that's hard to answer. But I will say this. Jan Jensen is a heck of a coach who I think has always been a big part of that program. And so what a great transition for them to move her into the head coaching spot. And they were able to sign a really talented guard out of Villanova, out of the portal. Wow. That I think I wouldn't say she's Caitlin Clark, but she's a great fit to take over because she's used to taking high volume shots and can score at a lot of levels.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the University of Miami saw her a couple of years ago in the tournament. You win last night, 74-71. You've got two regular season games under your belt. The Gators are coming up on Saturday. I think you probably know how we all feel about the Gators, or as we call them, the Gator. but what do you know about your team so far after two wins?
Well, number one, we're getting better. I think both these mid-major teams that we faced are very, very good. And, you know, we even did a closed-door scrimmage with South Florida, who is very good. So I think we haven't taken it easy on them early, you know, to face a Jacksonville team that has a lot of players back there. And they've also got some good transfers. You know, they got a 6'3 guard that was playing against us who transferred in from Oregon. They had a point guard that I played against in the MAC, and she's a very, very good player who led them in scoring last year. And is probably going to be one of the best players in their league. So I was pretty familiar with some of the players on this roster. And I think where I saw us get better, you know, we hit our free throws. We shot close to 86% from the free throw line. And I go back to our first
24 for 28, by the way. That's pretty.
Yeah. And I'm glad we did, because in a close game, it really spoke to what I've been preaching to the team. You got to do all the things you can to put yourself in a position to win. You know, and I thought we're also taking better care of the basketball. Two games ago, we had 19 turnovers. I think we had 15 in this one. Still not where I want it to be, but we're trending better. I think we got to do a better job on the boards. We allowed too many offensive rebounds in this game, and that would probably be we need to clean up some transition defense. And there's some things offensively I want to fix too, but I will say that the list of what we need to fix is getting smaller. And I think this game against Florida will be a great test for us to see, you know, where we're at. They're a tall, athletic team that really pushes the ball in transition well. They can really put some points on the board. And so we've got to make sure that our transition defense is on point.
That game last year between Miami and Florida was a heck of a game, and it was a very emotional game. It lived up to being a rivalry game, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. I have no doubt. And our players are fired up for it, you know, and I know it's our first road game. So we're looking forward to that as well. But obviously anybody in the state of Florida, you know, you can consider a rival. We'd like to have a good showing against everybody we play from this state.
The Cavenders, I think I'm right about this. They didn't play basketball last year. Now, maybe they kept playing basketball, but they weren't playing college basketball. And I've always felt if there's a player coming back after sitting out a year, whether it's by injury or whatever, that's a, there's a little bit of, it's a bit challenging. How is it, how has their transition been getting back into college basketball?
I think they're doing a great job. I mean, they're really helping me as far as establishing our culture. They're two of the hardest workers you'll ever coach. They're very skilled. They're competitive as all get out, and they're great teammates. And I think what I love about them is they set the bar in practice every day of how hard not only we want to work in practice, but getting extra shots up and showing our freshmen what it takes to be a winner. I love them because they communicate. A lot of young players in our game, they across the board, I don't care what team you're talking to, if you ask a college coach, what do my freshmen need to work on? It's communication. And that's on both ends of the floor. So it's nice to have some veterans out there that can make things happen, that are leaders, that can communicate, that hustle. And, you know, and I think the shots are going to drop for them a little bit more than what they are. I think some of that's just getting their timing back.
Right, right. Yeah, there's, I think it's always, in any sport, doesn't matter, there's always a little bit of a catching up to do. Marshall, what a game, 24 points. You mentioned free throws, 13 out of 14. And then you have Rogers scores 13 last night, which is great that she's on your team because when she played for DePaul, she scored a lot of points against Miami.
Yeah, we teased her. We teased her when we recruited her. We're like, why don't you come over to the good side? Because she, I tell you what I love about her. She has deep range, and it really stretches the opponent. And she might be the best passer on our entire team. But it was so good to see Nat Marshall, her threes falling because she's been working hard on it with my staff. And she's such a mobile post player that can do a lot of things. You know, she got, you know, they had her down for two blocks. I think she affected six shots in that game, whether she got credit for it or not. She's a good rebounder, and she just continues to get better and better. I think Nat's going to have a great year for us.
Last thing before I let you go, this is probably a good time for women's college basketball because in women's college basketball, there are some games that people aren't afraid to play each other. You got Maryland and Syracuse tonight, non-conference game. I think UConn and South Carolina are going to play, right? So you get some heavyweight matchups.
Yeah, I think anytime you can get these strong matchups now, I think coaches, we love that because – you know, we want to know early on what we need to work on and kind of a litmus test to see where you're at before you get to conference play. And so it is, and it's great for our game because we want fans to get involved early. And that's something we're trying to continue to build at Miami. I think we've got a great product. I think we've got exciting players to watch, and we want our fans to get out and get their season tickets.
All right, Coach. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got Florida on Saturday up there. But then on November 19th, back home against FIU. So that's another rivalry game. And then Friday, November 22nd, against Campbell. That game is at home. Then you got the Thanksgiving tournament with Charlotte and Quinnipiac coming up. So you got a bunch of games at home after this trip to Florida. And a great chance to have the fans come out and help you establish that home court that you want.
Well, and I hope fans realize this too. After the games, we don't go in the locker room. So it's a great chance to come meet our players and get to know the players that they're supporting. That's something that's a little different than other teams, but we do it because we want our players to get involved in the community.
All right, Coach. Thank you for being with us. And we will talk with you, in 2 weeks. Next week, we're on the road in Charleston with the men for basketball. So we'll keep a close eye, and we will reconvene our conversation here in the next couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. That's University of Miami women's basketball coach Tricia Cullup joining us. Okay. The great Larry Bluestein is coming up next. I'm bleeding into his time here, I think. Blue, I see you on the camera. All right. So Larry Bluestein coming up next with some great recruiting conversation. And thanks to Trevor Harris, our producer. Thanks to Don Bailey Jr., Scott Howard, and Tim Reynolds for all being with us here tonight. Stay tuned. Larry Bluestein coming up next.
Text WQAM on the Kendall Toyota text line at 305-567-0560. Black Friday savings are on at Kendall Toyota. Huge year-end savings on Toyota cars and trucks with 0% financing for up to 5 years on Tundras. Skip the holiday rush with a 45-minute delivery.
I'm
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.